King Charles III and his upcoming coronation. I think we're only about a month away from it now. It's a big event. We haven't had a coronation in this country for 70 odd years. Not since his mum, Queen Elizabeth II, back when the Prime Minister was Winston Churchill. So it's been a long time coming. And there was some coverage. It seemed to suggest that, well, let's say King Charles is in talks with the Church of England about some of the content of his upcoming oath, because he has to swear an oath, the coronation oath. I very much doubt that there's any genuine ruckus. They might be trying to portray it as the Archbishop of Canterbury holding the line and flying the flag for the faith, but I very much doubt whether Justin Welby, Archbishop of Canterbury, cares a jot whether Charles swears or does not swear to defend the faith. But so there's rumblings of something or other, some sort of bumping of heads on account of... we all know, it was reported years ago, wasn't it, that Charles said that when the time came, he wanted to be defender of all faiths. His duty as the constitutional monarch is to uphold the Church of England, but, you know, he wants to be defender of faiths in plural, which it's the addition of a single letter S, but it matters a great deal, because the coronation oath is foundational to his coronation and to his existence as a constitutional monarch. There's no getting away. We're only 4 weeks out from the event, and there's no word yet on what he will say, what oath he will take. But there's just no denying that Charles, he pinned his colours to the mast, so to speak, long ago. You know, he's supposed to be he's the sovereign, but we are all sovereign. He is the first sovereign, first among equals. But he is supposed to, and we've got every right to expect, that in the coronation oath, that he will say that he will defend our rights as free sovereign people, and that he will defend Britain as a sovereign nation, and that he will, you know, give his word that this country and we the people will not be placed under the overlordship of some external power. You know, we are an independent entity, and he, as the sovereign, swears to protect our freedoms and rights as sovereign individuals. But he's compromised. He is compromised because, you know, he launched the Great Reset. He trumpeted the fact that it was on his website, the Great Reset, the same one that's the life mission of Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. Charles had that on his royal website as soon as anybody had it anywhere. And the Great Reset, once you start looking into it, would compromise Britain's position as a nation independent of interference and overlordship from elsewhere. In that context, you know, look at all that's out there. You've got the World Health Organization as well, with their pandemic preparedness treaty, by which, if member states sign up to it, would cede control of the next pandemic. Decisions about locking down and about mandated vaccines and all of the rest of it, even the declaration of the existence of a pandemic, would be ceded to the World Health Organization, and we would have to do as we are told. At the launch of COP26, Charles, you know, opened that event in Glasgow, and he talked then about the need for, quote, a military-style campaign to whip us all into shape to save the planet. None of it is the right noise. He's not creating the right mood music for a constitutional monarch who will defend our independence, our freedom, our liberties. So I'm profoundly troubled. I quite openly go so far as to say Charles, as he has been, cannot be the king. Charles, who says what he has said, the stances that he has taken, his political approach, his outspoken political approach to geopolitics, he can't be the constitutional monarch of this country. He would have to do a major reset of his own. He would have to take back what he has said publicly before and say that in future he will act as and be and be committed to the role of a constitutional monarch, because for years he has made it quite plain that that is not the way he thinks. So I don't think Charles can be king. Well, he can be king, but he can't meaningfully be a constitutional monarch within a constitutional monarchy. I keep thinking about there's an episode of very early on in Blackadder series one, I think it was, you know, the Rowan Atkinson thing, where it's on the night before Prince Edmund's wedding, and you hear a sheep baaing in his bedroom, and his mother, the Queen, says, "It's not the sheep I mind, Edmund, it's the lion." I think about that all the time. I object most strenuously to being lied to being told one thing while other things are done. You know, it's that line as well from the outlaw Josie Wales, you know, "Don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining." I'm fed up being told by authority figures that the world is one way, when in fact it's increasingly plain to see that the world is quite different, that it's quite something else entirely. And I think in the context of, you know, Charles and the rest of them, I think about, finally, the third allusion I will draw is from Only Fools and Horses, you know, and Trigger's broom. You know, you remember that episode when he says that he's been given a medal by the council for his work as a street sweeper, and he says that for 20 years he's had the same broom. And then when Del and the rest of them talk to him about it, it transpires that it's had 17 heads and 14 handles in 20 years, but he still considers it to be the same broom. Britain is Trigger's broom. They're inviting us to imagine that it's still the same entity that it always was, but it's not. The Britain I grew up in is gone. It is no more. It has ceased to be. It's quite a different place, and it's been made different by the decisions taken and the legislation passed by the powers that be. This is a very different place now, and I am just sick and tired of being treated as though I haven't noticed the difference. You know, it's not the sheep I mind, it's the lying. I think the time has come. I think the time has come when we need to back the powers that be into a corner and leave them no option but to tell us the truth. They need to turn around and look us in the eye and say, "It's a whole different Britain now. We've made it different. And if you don't like it, you can do one." I want to push them into having no option but to simply tell us the truth. The nitpicking laws that they invited themselves to make over the last couple of years, along with the draconian attacks on our freedoms and liberties, they did all of that, and at the same time they seemed to be allowing themselves the delusion that none of us noticed. But we can see what they have been up to. We can see the radical alterations they have made to our freedoms and our liberties. You know, and the coronation in a month's time, and the coronation oath that will be taken by King Charles, we know that it's all going to be about profound change. And the time has come when the powers that be have to be forced to tell us the truth, that there's a new sheriff in town and that it's all different. You know, treat us with respect, at least, and tell us, fess up, admit that they have changed everything. You know, that's the way, you know, that look at the West. The West, we amount to just 13% of the population of the planet. Right? And the West is being dismantled. Britain, North America, Europe, it's being taken apart bit by bit before our eyes. You know, the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline, energy poverty for Germany and, you know, and thereby other parts of Europe, the foreshadowing of food shortages, the suicide note of net zero, all of that is simply deliberately taking the West apart. And the other 87% of the population must look on at the West and just either they must be chin on chest in shock or laughing up their sleeves at what's going on here. Because what's happening in the West, what the West is doing to itself, vowing to do, is only going to affect the West. You know, the other 87% of the world will carry on as before, and our suicide in the face of it all will have made not a jot of difference. And we're just looking on at this. You know, the corruption in the United States, Biden and the Democrats. Do you know that by the end of campaigning for the 2020 election, the Democrats had spent $8.4 billion on electioneering. $8.4 billion. $400 million from Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook alone. But the Democrats spent on the 2020 election more than the GDP of several African nations, just on electioneering. Look at in Britain, Rishi Sunak, our Prime Minister, he pays a lower rate of tax on his millions of earnings than most working people do. And he's the Prime Minister. And he knows that we know that. And the middle classes in this country are getting poorer and poorer under his watch. We're more taxed than any population in 70 years. You know, everyone can see their living standards in a spiral downwards. Everything is getting worse. People are getting poorer. We're going into energy poverty. We're going into food shortages. Net zero is making things worse and worse and worse. Well, I say the time has come for the powers that be that are doing this to us to turn to us and look us in the eye and admit, yeah, it's all very different. We did it, and you're just going to have to put up with it. Because when they finally do that, then we'll have a party.
Does King Charles's oath have any legal power?
That's a good question. Legal, lawful. The Parliament of the day legislates. It passes legislation, so it can make anything legal. That's a fact. Because we have been walked into the very situation that Magna Carta 1215 was framed to prevent. Which is to say, Magna Carta 1215 sought to make it impossible for the people who draft the laws and pass the laws to also have the power to impose the laws and declare what the punishments will be for breaches of those laws. Because if Parliament has all of those powers in its hands, then that is a textbook definition of tyranny. Parliament is supposed to draft the laws and enact the laws, but the people, via the jury, are supposed to have the power to judge the justice of the laws. But jury trial has been all but taken away from us. It's magistrates, courts and all the rest of it. But that's a conversation for another day. Suffice it to say, when you say, does King Charles' coronation oath have a legal element to it? We supposedly live in a constitutional monarchy. And you can say to yourself, oh, it's all just pomp and pageantry. It's just Union Jacks and toy soldiers and, you know, and trumpets and horses on parade. But the reality is that our constitution says that we are a constitutional monarchy, that the king or the queen sits at the heart of something and swears a sacred oath, swears it to God, but it's legally binding in any and every way that matters. And he's supposed to be saying, I will be the first among equals and I will protect the liberty and freedom and the separateness and the independence of these islands. And you as individuals, I will stand up for and protect your liberties and freedoms, you know, against the depredations of a parliament, of his own parliament, or you know, powers foreign and domestic. That is what he is supposed to be saying. But I very much doubt that he is going to say that. My prediction is that we will get some kind of carefully massaged version of a coronation oath that commits him to nothing. But, you know, the coronation oath of the monarch at the heart of the constitutional monarchy ought to mean something. In many respects, it ought to mean everything, but only time will tell.